Hello and welcome to this SEU Oncology Update on oncogenic-driven non-small cell lung cancer from the ESMO Congress in Paris. I am Dr. David Planchard from Gustave Roussy in Villejuif, France. I am very pleased to be joined by two of my colleagues, Dr. Egbert Smith from the Leiden University Medical Center in the Netherlands and Dr. Daniel Tan from the National Cancer Center Singapore in Singapore. We are all thoracic oncologists and involved in the lung cancer management and the research. Welcome, Egbert and Daniel, and thank you both for joining me today. Finally, I would like we to discuss to target the KRAS G12C. Until recently, KRAS mutations that are the most common in non-small cell lung cancer were considered undruggable, but now we have target therapy that target specifically the KRAS G12C, which is the most common KRAS mutation and is present in approximately 13% of patients with non-small cell lung cancer. So we had a major presentation and an important result of trial during this ESMO meeting, but probably, Daniel, could you add light of this new agent and how it works in the KRAS G12C non-small cell lung cancer?
Sure. So I think some of the earlier compounds that include sotorasib and adagrasib, they're all selective covalent inhibitors that exploit this cysteine residue and this shallow pocket that allows somehow binding of these drugs and trapping of KRAS G12C in an inactive GDP-bound state. And as a result, you know, when these went into the clinic, we've seen now activity both in the second line setting, but phase two studies of sotorasib with objective response rate of 41%, median duration of response of 12 months, median overall survival of 12.5 months in the CodeBreaK 100 study. And with adagrasib, there was the Crystal 1 study that showed an overall response rate of 43%, median duration of response of 8.5 months, and median overall survival of 12.6 months. So very similar in terms of the kind of key high-level outcomes for these two agents. And, you know, I guess this was the confirmatory phase three trial that we were highly anticipating.
And so this is what I've been presented at the last day of the ESMO, the presidential symposium, so the phase three trial, CodeBreaK 200, which evaluate the sotorasib versus docetaxel. So finally, what we can do in clinical practice post chemo, plus or minus immunotherapy in second line treatment, for which it's a big unmet need in this population. So it was particularly focused on the KRAS G12C mutation, an important trial, phase three trial, randomized. So Edberg, perhaps the key highlight of the trial.
Well, over 340 patients were randomized between standard of care docetaxel, 75 milligrams square meter every 3 weeks, or sotorasib at a 960 milligram daily doses. And I think the key results were an objective response rate of approximately 28% versus 13%. And a median progression-free survival, 5.6 months in the experimental arm and 4.5 months in the standard of care docetaxel arm. And toxicities were, there were grade 3 toxicities in both treatment arms, and in particular in the sotorasib arm, diarrhea seems to be a toxicity that is the most prevalent. So if you would compare that to the CodeBreaK 100 study, you see that the response rates are lower, median progression-free survival is somewhat lower. But I think that's somehow to be expected if you go to a less selected population, i.e. from phase 1-2 to phase 3. I somewhat disagreed with the discussion that, you know, she felt... disappointed about the results, but I think this more or less confirms what we have seen in the earlier sotorasib trial. There's one thing that I'd like to point out is that the incidence of severe hepatotoxicity was not that high. I think that was a something to watch out for, as people prior with prior exposure to immune oncology drugs, which most of these patients had actually, severe hepatotoxicity has been described to a large extent. So I think, all in all, we are quite safe in the second line space with this agent, and I think it's a something that we can build upon for the near future.
And probably, I agree with you, Egbert, and probably also the standard of care would say the docetaxel arm slightly overperform what we have already used to see in the previous and the oldest trials. So probably that can explain this. But that's,
it may be that docetaxel is a little bit more active in KRAS G12C. That is something we do not know as compared to the general population with non-small cell lung cancer in second line.
And the next piece, and probably that make the people sometime slightly disappointing, is the fact that finally it does not translate in a significant benefit in overall survival. So at that time, it was 10.6 versus 11.3 in the docetaxel arm, despite the crossover initially was not permitted, but finally later in the trial, it was permitted because most of the patients can get access in some depending access program or other things in different country. But the crossover was only 26%. So I don't know, perhaps, Daniel, the fact you have this clear improvement in PFS, no translation of benefit in OS with a low incidence of percentage finally of crossover, that might, can it pose any problem to access to the drug or to confirm this is clearly the new standard of care?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess you mentioned already that, you know, sometimes that there are increasing access opportunities, and not only that, many other KRAS G12C inhibitors in development. So again, it may, you know, access to these inhibitors may come from that. I, to be honest, despite the low crossover rate, I think that the fact that this doesn't necessarily translate to overall survival benefit, it doesn't absolutely bother me as much. I don't know, Egbert, whether you know how you feel about this.
Well, I agree. I think for some patients, this drug may work well as a single agent, but I think its future will undoubtedly lie in some combination. And I agree with Daniel that lack of an overall survival benefit in this trial that was not powered for overall survival, I think we have to acknowledge that as well, would not deter me from treating patients in second line with this drug.
No, it's clear. After, probably it can be an issue in some country to be reimbursed, because sometimes they only believe on improvement in overall survival in second line versus docetaxel.
Yeah.
So that might be the issue, but on scientific point of view, I'm agree that
I'm curious how this will pan out with EMA.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. This would be the.
I don't know. How is that in Singapore, Daniel? Would they?
So you're right, Egbert. And you know, in a way, in this instance, it was very much a decision, because in fact the sample size was initially powered to be a second primary endpoint of overall survival, but there was concern about the ethical randomizing, you know, whether it was ethical to continue randomizing patients into those, so they reduced the size of the sample size to meet this primary PFS endpoint. But you're right. I mean, how we're going to now, if there's pushback in the regulatory agencies to demonstrate this OS overall survival benefit, it would be a kind of interesting dialogue. In Singapore, I think we would probably, you know, again, it really also depends on maybe, you know, what kind of price point these agents might come in to at the end of the day. But it certainly would be interesting to see how the regulatory agencies address this particular product.
And after we also wait the phase 3 trial with adagrasib, that's also compared to docetaxel, to see if we confirm the same magnitude of benefit. I would add also the fact it will be nice to see additional data, but probably we'll see on the brain mets, particularly for the sotorasib. We had some nice data with adagrasib that seems to work well on the brain mets. It was not shown here, but I'm sure that we'll have some additional data on the brain mets in this population. It was shown at last World Lung Congress, the combination with immune treatment tried to push in first line of treatment. And as you said, Edberg, the issue is mainly the liver toxicity, for which combination might not be so easy, particularly with the immune treatment with sotorasib due to the liver toxicity.
And given the potential liabilities of, you know, each of these small molecules, I guess that's good that we have multiple KRAS G12C inhibitors in development. And some of them may have very subtle differences that allow better tolerability when combined. So again, I think it's still, it's good that we do have a, you know, a series of KRAS G12C inhibitors that, that are in the pipeline.
Agree. And, but when we see the pipeline and number of KRAS currently ongoing in clinical trial, and particularly on the G12C, but probably also for the other type of mutation, non-G12C, that's really nice. And, but this is clearly the first piece of the puzzle that push the new standard of care for this population, but for sure that we will have a further KRAS and further generation of KRAS inhibitor ongoing. So, so many data, so many trial ongoing, and so, so exciting to see all these different compounds for our patient with a KRAS G12C. Unfortunately, we have to end it. So I would like to thank you both, Edberg and Daniel, for the great discussion and valuable insight on some of the new data on targeted therapy for patients with oncogene-driven non-small cell lung cancer. And osimertinib resistant, for example, had been presented at this ESMO meeting. And thank you all for listening.